what we receive, right? We all want to earn what we receive. And so when we do that, there's people that are teaching these churches in Galatia, like Derbe and Antioch and Pisidia and Lystra, those places that we read about just last week in the book of Acts. So these different churches where the Apostle Paul was preaching, he was preaching to them about salvation by grace through faith. And then other people come in and add something to that and tell them, well, you know, you got to be circumcised if you're going to be saved. Or you got to be this, or you got to be that. Whatever the case is, all of those things, salvation is hinged on those things of works, is what those false teachers were coming into Galatia and preaching. Well, the Apostle Paul, after he got back from his first missionary journey, he goes back to Antioch and goes back into Jerusalem. And he hears about what's going on in these churches in Galatia that he just left. Can you imagine? Him, man, he's suspending his, just preaching his heart out, spending time with these churches. And then he gets back and he finds out, man, they have gone way left to center already. And so he sits down and he starts writing this letter to the churches in Galatia, right? This, it is not necessarily considered a general epistle, but it is a letter. Epistle is a letter. A letter to be distributed through all those churches in the region of Galatia. And he's gonna write to them and correct them about what is going on. Again, the message of the whole book is that we are saved by grace through faith. So, the Apostle Paul goes to write this letter, and his letter begins, it seems like, all the other letters, but he kind of skips some of the niceties, and we're going to look at that here in just a minute. He says in verse 1, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from the present evil world, according to the will of God and of our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So in those first five verses, he gives this salutation, right, this greeting. Now between Ephesians, Philippians, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, he says, I thank God daily for you. Right? He gives encouragement to them. He's telling them that he's thankful for them. In Galatians, he didn't do that. Right? He was like, greetings to you in the name of Jesus, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who has saved us, who delivers us from evil, and that's it. Right? He doesn't say, I'm thankful for you. He's thinking y'all are a bunch of knuckleheads. I just left and you're already leaving what I'm telling you to do. Right? And we are so easily, as the book of Hebrews tells us, the sin that so easily besets us. Right? The Apostle Paul, he's writing to them to correct them. Now, before we go any further, I'll ask you, does it matter when somebody tells you something, does it matter who they are? Well, okay, let's be honest here. Does it matter who they are when they tell you something? Yes, it absolutely does. If somebody that I work with comes up and tells me to do something, I'm going to consider who that person is before I decide whether I'm going to do it or not. You know, do they have the authority or do they have the common sense or whatever to tell me to do that? Do I trust them in order to follow what they're telling me to do? You know, when I tell you something, it is not under my authority. It's not because it's me. When I tell you something, it's because the Bible says it. Right? And if the Bible says it, the Bible carries the authority. Like my boss or my plant manager, when they tell my direct boss, tells me to do something, when he's telling me to do it, it's not even him. It's his boss that's telling me what to do. So I'm going to do it, right? Because they certainly have the authority, the credibility, the wisdom, all that to tell me what to do. And so I do it, whether I want to or not. So the Apostle Paul here, he's got to, at the beginning, certainly, in the first chapter, he's going to defend his apostleship. He's going to defend who he is and whose authority and what authority he's teaching them under. Right? So when we're grabbing a hold of this perspective of this book, when we start to read it, we can understand that Paul, first of all, which he's going to say here in just a minute. He is an apostle, right? He is sent under the authority of Almighty God. He has seen the resurrected Christ. He did on the road to Damascus. He is going in the authority of God. And God has demonstrated his authority in Paul by Paul doing miracles, right? We already read about a number of those in the book of Acts. So we'll pick up in Galatians in verse 5. In verse 5, or verse 6 rather, sorry. He says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. I can't believe you are already drawn away from the truth. What is the matter with you all? You know, that's in my mind, that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. I marvel that you so soon are drawn away. From what? Now there's a really important word there in verse 6. So you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace. Into the grace. Right? Grace is receiving favor that we do not deserve. We're receiving something we don't have any right to. We don't have any claim to. We're receiving it. And then we receive the best of it. And then we turn around and walk away. We're like, I don't need grace. I'm going to earn it. So he says, I marvel that you are so soon drawn away from this. When you are called into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Which is not another gospel. Because the word gospel means good news. Let me tell you what good news is. Good news is even though I am a no good, low down, foul mouthed, nasty sinner, I will spend eternity in heaven because Jesus died and shed his blood to pay for my sin. That's good news. That's the gospel. Because I admitted that I am a sinner. Right? I confess my sin. I confess him as my Savior. And I receive his gift of forgiveness. That is good news. So the Apostle Paul, he says, I can't believe you go after another gospel in verse 7, which is not another. It's not good news. Right? If we have to earn our salvation, that is not good news. Because let me tell you, if you got to earn it, you've already blown it. Simple as that. If we have to earn it, we're finished. He says in verse 7, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. They will pervert it. They will pervert the good news. Well, here's a good one for you. You have to be circumcised in order to be saved. So you have to take on a little bit of this Jewish law in order to actually really be a Christian. Now, let me tell you, salvation, baptism is not a condition for salvation. You understand that? It is not a condition for salvation. Baptism is a reaction of salvation. Baptism is a public testimony of what God has done in your life. You are identifying with his death, his burial, and his resurrection. You are telling the world that, man, I am part of his, even as I am a part of Jesus' death, I am a part of his resurrection. And if I die with him, I will rise with him. And as he rises and has his glory, I will glory with him. Right? Because we're part of him because he shed his blood for us. So the Apostle Paul says it is not another gospel. They'll pervert the gospel. And when we have to add something to the gospel or we pervert the gospel, we're saying the gospel is not enough. Can you imagine such a thing? That the gospel is not enough. The sacrifice of the Son of God was not enough. So he said they will pervert the gospel. Verse 8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which is preached unto you, let him be cursed. So if we, right, Paul or Barnabas or Silas or whoever's with them, or even an angel from heaven preach another gospel to you, which is not another gospel, which is perverting the true gospel, if they preach something to you, if I ever tell you, you have to do something other than confess your sins and confess Jesus as your Savior for salvation, then you all need to physically carry me out that front door. Because that is perverting the gospel. And he said, whoever it is that adds something to salvation, they need to be accursed. And he says almost the same thing again, but he's taking it a step further in verse 9. And he said, And we said before, so say I now again, if any man, not just me or my brethren or an angel from heaven, but if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. Kick him out. There's some preachers that need to be physically removed from a pulpit because they're telling you something that is not in the Word of God. And if they're telling you something that's not in the Word of God, then your blood is on their hands. But your blood is going to be shed nonetheless. Make sure we understand that. The Apostle Paul is saying if anybody preaches something other than what God has spoken, then they need not preach at all. So, he says there in verse 10. Before we read verse 10, I was reading a story of a violinist. Someone who, you know, a young violinist, a young prodigy, a young man that was standing in an auditorium of about 10,000 people. So they're standing in an auditorium of about 10,000 people. And he's playing this concert hall and he's playing the violin. And man, he's playing his heart out. He's been doing it for most of his young life. He finishes playing, and man, the crowd goes wild. I mean, they're all standing on their feet, and they're all cheering and shouting. And the young violinist bows his head in tears and walks off the stage. And so the stage manager, he sees him coming off the stage, and he says, "What is the problem? Look at the crowd. They're all standing. They're all cheering you. They loved you." And the young violinist looked and he said, "You see that man in the center? The one that's sitting down? The one that is not clapping and the one that's not smiling? That's my father. And that's my teacher. It doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. If my father is not happy with what I'm doing, nothing matters." We have to understand, just like we're going to read here in Galatians in chapter 1 and verse 10, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." The Apostle Paul is saying, "Look, man, I'm not trying to please you. I'm not trying to please anybody. I'm trying to please God. Because if God is not pleased, then we have nothing." Right? Wives, if you do everything in the world to serve your children and to serve your husband, and your husband's not happy, you're thinking, "Well, forget you." Right? Men, same way. You know, you do everything you can do for your wife, and she's still not happy. All this, you know, it doesn't matter if everybody thinks you're a great husband, or ladies, it doesn't matter if everybody thinks you're a great wife. If the one you are trying to serve isn't happy, then we feel like a total failure, right? Because the person we're serving is not satisfied. The Apostle Paul says, "I'm not trying to build a big church. I'm not trying to satisfy tons of people. I'm trying to please God," right? By the true gospel, that salvation is by grace through faith. And that doesn't mean that the gospel or salvation is cheap or it's free. It's free to us, but it's not free for God to give it. God gave His only begotten Son that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. His blood was shed. He surrendered His life. He laid it down for you and for me. And that grace, when we receive that great gift, it doesn't cheapen the gospel. It glorifies God. Right? It glorifies Him. And that's what the Apostle Paul, as he was preaching on that first missionary journey, you remember when he was talking to the Jews? Y'all remember when he's talking to the Jews? I want to say it was like chapter 13 or something like that. I forget now. Anyway, he was preaching to the Jews, and he had this three-point message, and man, he tore them up because he was going through the Old Testament, telling them how the Old Testament was pointing to the Messiah and how they killed the Lord of glory. How Jesus laid His life down and God raised Him from the dead and all of these things. The Apostle Paul says, "That's the one that I'm trying to please." In verse 11, he says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after men." The Apostle Paul says, "I didn't make this up. Man, this is not of men. Nobody instructed me on this. It is straight from God. He is claiming the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He's claiming that his message is straight from God himself. And let me tell you, the Word of God is straight from God himself. It is the inspired, inerrant, complete work of God. There's no two ways about it. It is not of men. God is so great, he can use fallen men to communicate his word to other fallen men. That's just how great God is. Because he can use inferior, subpar, uneducated men to communicate his inerrant, eternal word. And the Apostle Paul says, this message that I gave you, it wasn't communicated by men. Nobody taught me this. And he wasn't building himself up. He was saying, it's God that is preaching this. It's God that's writing it. It is not after man. Verse 12. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's like, I didn't learn this salvation by grace, by my Sunday school teacher. I learned it because the Holy Spirit spoke it to me. This is what God did with the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, that God took this zealot Pharisee and took all that this Pharisee had learned and was using to persecute God's church. I can just imagine. And here the Holy Spirit is saying, watch this. I'm going to take all of this knowledge that you have learned about the Old Testament, about the Scriptures, about the Law and the Prophets, and I'm going to shed light on it and show you that this is a New Testament truth that's been veiled in the Old Testament. And now you're being able to see it. The Apostle Paul said, nobody taught me that. Man, that was from God himself. No man taught this to me. For I didn't receive it of man, neither was I taught it, again, verse 12, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my conversation in the times past with the Jews in the region, and how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Man, this isn't of me. When it was of me, I was persecuting you all. That's the Apostle Paul. Remember back in verse 6, he said, I am astounded, I'm amazed that you are so easily turned from the truth that I've been preaching you to another gospel that's not a gospel anyway. This isn't something somebody told me. God revealed this to me. And when it was me, I used to persecute people like you. So the Apostle Paul is justifying, not necessarily who he is, but he's justifying the authority of the source that, of the information that he's giving them. Right? So who it is that tells us these crazy things, it matters. Right? It totally matters. The Apostle Paul is saying, I might be the mouthpiece, but I'm not the source. The source is God himself. And for you and for me, the source is the Word of God. He says, he wasted it in verse 14. And he profited in the Jews' religion, above many of my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But, it's like, I studied, and I did the best I could, and I learned the law and the prophets, and I did all of this. But, when it pleased God, when it pleased God, I love that short little phrase. When it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. When it pleased God. God is the one that allowed the Apostle Paul to be born, Saul. God is the one that called him by what? By his grace. God called him by his grace. The fact that he ever ministered, the fact that he ever preached, was a work of grace by the glory of God. The fact that we ever have an opportunity to speak the truth of God to people who don't know him is a measure of grace that we certainly do not deserve. Because we are imparting eternal, divine truth to people who are lost. If you weren't in Sunday school this morning, like I told you, when the Sunday school, the new quarterly came out, there's a lot of like church vocabulary, right? The first one last week, it was holy. Today it was lost. You know, and the lesson was on the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. So he's talking about how the prodigal son was lost. When in Sunday school, I was asking about somebody was lost. Have you ever been lost? And they were like, yeah, I was lost at McDonald's in the playground. I couldn't see my mom, and I couldn't see this person. And I wandered all over the place looking for them. I couldn't find them. And I felt lost. I was panicked. I even ran outside to find them. And I finally came in, and there they were. You know, we get lost. People are lost, and they're looking for truth. They're looking for peace. They're looking for eternity. And when they're lost, we have the direction. Right? And it is by God's grace that we have the ability and the authority and the mercy to share the truth with people that are lost. So the Apostle Paul, he communicates that. And he said, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, he called me by his grace. God called you by his grace. God called you. He's calling you right now. If you don't know him as your Savior, if you've never surrendered your life to him, he's calling you at this moment. I know that because you're here. God doesn't put you here by accident. He's not allowing you to hear the Word of God by some happenstance that karma organized. It is the Holy Spirit that is calling you to him now. Right? Not later. Now. The Apostle Paul says, God separated me from my womb and he called me by his grace to reveal his son in me. So God separated him from his mother's womb to be called to the ministry, to reveal his son in Paul. So the Apostle Paul says, God, by his grace, is revealing his son through me. And this day, in this moment, God, I pray, is revealing his son through me. And when we leave here, when we go out of the world amongst our family and our friends and our jobs and every other place, God is giving you an opportunity to reveal his son through you. Can you imagine that? I mean, that's quite the responsibility, isn't it? When God is using you, calling you to a great purpose, that is the purpose God is calling you to. God is saying, I am calling you, Phil, to be me to other people. And you think to yourself, oh, I don't want that responsibility. Well, I don't care if you want that responsibility. It's yours. Will you shirk it or will you embrace it? Will you say, Lord, I know I'm going to blow it. The Lord knows you're going to blow it. Right? He knows it. You know, I've had a couple of projects at work I've had to work on. I'm getting organizing one now. And the last one I did, I was spending a ton of the company's money. Plant manager was like, Tony, this is what I don't want you to be afraid of. And I'm thinking, oh, what's this going to be? She says, I don't want you to be afraid to fail. And when she told me, I don't want you to be afraid to fail, I was like, all right then, I ain't scared. What I was thinking to myself. And then from then on, I wasn't afraid to blow it. I was just charging head on. And now I'm in the middle of another project. I've done a couple of things that everybody thinks is kind of crazy. But I'm not afraid to fail. Because my boss's boss, she knows I'm going to blow it at some point. But it's okay. God knows you're going to blow it at some point. But he has called you to reveal his son to those who do not know him. He's called you. Ron and Alan and Wayne and John and Phil and all of us. He's called us all to reveal his son to people around us. And we can say all the time, if somebody at work says, that's not my job. Man, doesn't that bug you to death? When somebody says, that's not my job. I'm like, shut up. It's what goes on in my head anyway, right? And the same thing in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine saying, well, that's not my job? No, that's absolutely your job. It's absolutely your job to reveal his son to those, his son. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you can't reveal his son to them because you don't have his son. But if you know Jesus as your Savior, the Holy Spirit dwells in you, and the Holy Spirit is going to come out of you if you will allow him. He's going to work mightily in you. So he says, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb to be called by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Y'all know any heathen? We all do, right? We all do. Whether they're heathen adults or whether they're heathen devil children, we all know heathens. So, he says, to preach him among the heathen, and immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. He says, God called me to do this. He sent me to do this, and I didn't ask anybody's opinion. I just obeyed. And that's where we get caught, right? We want to be normal. We want to be reserved, and we want to be responsible. You know, we want to seem like we're not radicals. Let me tell you, the Lord wants somebody that's radical. He doesn't want somebody that's normal. Right? God didn't pick normal people. He picked a bunch of roughneck, blue-collar fishermen. That's who he picked, a Christian killer, to preach to the Gentiles. God doesn't pick anybody normal. He doesn't want you to be normal. He doesn't want you to stay normal. Man, he wants you to preach the gospel with all of your passion, all of everything that you are. He said, man, I didn't confer with men. I didn't confer with flesh and blood. I just did what I was commanded to do. Neither went I, verse 17, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were the apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Man, I didn't go to Jerusalem to see if it was okay with Peter, James, and John. I didn't go there and check with them and say, well, fellas, is it okay if I do this? No. He's like, I didn't go and confer with them. I know Jesus appeared to me. He spoke to me. It is according to the word of God, all of the Old Testament that he already knew. So where did he go? He went to Arabia for 3 years where he sat and was taught by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit moved in him, worked to him, revealed to him the truth of the Old Testament scripture that he already knew. And after he did that, he went back to Damascus. In verse 18, and after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Once he comes back and he's already ready, man, the Apostle Paul, he's got both guns blazing. Right? And he goes to Jerusalem. He's like, after that, then I went to Jerusalem and I saw Peter. And he didn't go to Peter to ask for permission. He went to Peter just to say, hey, I'm Paul. And he only hung out there 2 weeks. You figure somebody as strong of a personality as Peter and somebody with as strong a personality as Paul, how long do you think they can get along? Probably not very long. Right there, probably at each other's throats inside of 7 days, and they just figured 7 more days of greats, and then they part ways. That's just my own comical evaluation, right? But he was only there 15 days, and then he went about his business. So verse 19, it says, But other the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. So the only other apostle Paul met was James, who was soon going to be killed. Right? We already read about that. He was soon going to be killed. Verse 20, now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. So the Apostle Paul has let them know. Remember back in verse 6, he said, I can't believe you are strayed so easily and so quickly, adding works to salvation. Trying to change or pervert the gospel from what it is. It's true and it's pure and it's simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. Right? There's a big difference. It's not easy, but it's simple. It is difficult to surrender all of us to who Jesus is. It's difficult. It's much easier to say, well, can't I just do something? Isn't that easier to say that? Isn't it easier, like, men, if you totally blow it with your wives, isn't it easier just to say, you know what, how about I just buy you some flowers and we'll call it good? Women, does that work? Heck no, it don't work. Right? You know it, I know it, everybody knows it. We have to change. If it's going to work, we have to change. So God, He doesn't want works, right? He wants our heart to change. So that's the difference between the gospel of grace and the doctrine of works. Right? We can't work and earn our way into the kingdom of God. It is by grace through faith. That's it. So he said, the only one he saw was James, the Lord's brother. And these things that I write to you, I lie not. Verse 21. And afterward I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they heard only. So he's like, I even went to these other churches and they heard. That he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed. And they glorified God in me. The Apostle Paul is not justifying himself. He's not saying, listen to me, hear what I have to say because of me. He's not saying, listen to me because I was a Pharisee. He's saying, listen to what God is saying through me. He says, people all over know of what God is doing in me. Right? There's a big difference between saying, I have all the answers. Right? If I tell y'all I have all the answers, you're all going to laugh at me, and my wife's probably going to turn around and walk out the door because she knows it ain't true. But I do know the Word of God is true. And the Apostle Paul is telling us, this is what God is doing. It's not me, it's Him. Right? When they wanted to worship Him because He healed somebody, what did He tell them? He's like, no, it ain't me. It's not me, it's what God is doing. And what God is doing is saving people that are lost by grace. By grace through faith. Just like our Sunday school lesson, when the prodigal son, remember he found himself in a pigsty, eating pig slop, and here he's a Jewish guy, and he decides, you know what, man, those guys that are working for my father, man, they've got plenty of bread to eat, they've got a roof over their head. Well, I tell you what, I'm going to go back to my father, and I'm going to say, Father, I totally blew it. Would you hire me as one of your servants? He was going back to his father with the right attitude. He wasn't going back to his father saying, Father, I'm going to earn my way back into the family. No, he went back to his father like, Father, I've got nothing. Can you hire me? Right? He didn't go back proud or claiming anything. He went back completely and totally humble. That's the only way that we can receive salvation. Right? Is humble. Is receiving it as a gift of God. And just like the Apostle Paul says, he's talking with godly authority, right? Not with human authority, with godly authority. And he says, God has called him to preach. God has called him from his mother's womb to separate him, to reveal his son to others. And that is the challenge this morning. God has called you. Whether you want the responsibility or not is totally irrelevant. God has saved. If you know Him as your Savior, He has saved you from your sins. The Holy Spirit indwells you. You are the Holy Spirit's tabernacle, right? You're His temporary dwelling. And He has called you to go about and reveal the Son of God to those who do not know Him. He's calling you to that. And you can look at God and you can say, Lord, I ain't going to do it. You have that freedom. That's called free will, right? You can absolutely disobey God. Or you could say, Lord, because I totally blew every good thing you ever gave me, and without you, I'm dead. Without you, I'm dead. So I'm coming back to you. I'm coming back to you humble. And Lord, it doesn't matter what you tell me to do. I'm going to be obedient because you saved me from my sin. Are you gonna receive that mission? Are you gonna, you know, you want something to do to earn your salvation? You're not gonna earn it, but here's something to do in light of your salvation is reveal the Son of God to people who do not know. Reveal Him. Man, preach Him. I was at work the other day, a guy's like, Tony, you're the man. I was like, I'm not the man, but I know the man. And he says, oh yeah, who's that? And I turned around and I smiled. Let me tell you. And we have an opportunity to reveal the Son of God to those who do not know. Will you accept that? You know, put away saying, well, I'm saved, so I got to dress a certain way. I got to act a certain way. I got to all of this to earn my salvation, or because this is what's proper. Well, there are things that's proper, right? Everything's got to be covered, and we got to be respectful, all right? Everybody agrees with that. But let the Lord use you to reveal His Son to those around you, however He chooses to do it. And whatever we're doing, we ain't earning our way into heaven. But we can reveal God's Son through us because the Holy Spirit is working. So what is your answer today? Musicians, come on up. What is your answer today? So you have, there's two different options this morning. You know, maybe you know the Lord is your Savior. Maybe you know Him. And you've said, you know what, I know that I've received salvation by grace, but I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm not going to do anything more. What's the Lord want, man? I give my tithe. I'm here on Sunday morning. What else does He want? I'll tell you what He wants. He wants you to reveal His Son to those who do not know. Maybe you're thinking, I haven't done that. And we can repent of that, of shirking that mission, that responsibility. We can repent of that, and we can ask the Lord to use us. Or maybe we've never received that gift of salvation. We've never